song.
All right, I think I'm on. It was already on before I got here. I tell you, I walked in the back door and heard, I come in, Brother McBride preaching. I got right in, he was starting to his message of sitting right back over here. I enjoyed myself. I said, I cannot believe this. And when I walked in, I really got bitter. I really did. And and the reason why is because I had come down the highway. I said, God, what you want? And he gave me the same text that Brother McBride had to preach on. And I said, what is he doing preaching my message? And back years ago, I was preaching, I had to preach in Charlotte, a national conference with pastors. And so a friend of mine, I told him on a Sunday night, he's always called and after church, ask what God do today and all this. And he said, what'd you preach on? And I preached on you ain't, I told him, I said, I preached on you ain't seen nothing yet. And he said, what you going to preach at that conference? I said, well, I'm trying to find the mind of God. I said, I might preach that message. He said, oh, don't preach that. I said, why? He said, man, I shot that last week. And he said, I already shot that message, man. And he said, find something else. I said, man, you preached the message? He said, yeah. He said, well, let me tell you a story. He told me about this preacher, this young preacher's about to preach. You probably heard it. And never preached before in his life. And said that, boy, they said, after so-and-so sing, I said, he's coming up to preach next. And said, he was sitting beside this older preacher and said, he said, oh, God, what in the world am I going to do? Hey, I'm going to preach next. And he was running his head. Oh, God, he said, I forgot my Bible. I don't even have my outline. What am I going to do? The old priest said, calm down. Come, look, take my Bible, son. He said, 66 books. Just get up there and read something and preach. He said, God will give you something. And the old preacher, young guy, got up there behind the pulpit, and he's shaking all over. And he got up, and he said, oh, God, what am I going to do? And he saw the old preacher's outline. Man, he preached that thing, and they got in the glory. I'm talking about line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Preach the old preacher's outline. The old preacher's sitting there looking at it. He come back and sat down, and he said, man, did you realize what you just did? He said, what? He said, you preached my outline. I'm preaching next. He said, don't worry about it. God will give you something, amen. Well, how many glad you saved this morning? Say amen. I tell you what, it's an honor and a joy to be here this morning. I certainly praise God for Brother Stewart. Thank God for his wonderful wife. I praise God for his family. I don't know one of the most precious men of God that's ever walked on shoe leather is that man of God. God's given this place right here. And I love him and thank God for his friendship. Because we have companions, but then we have acquaintances, I should say, and then we have true friends. And acquaintances are with you for a minute, but friends are with you for a lifetime. And I certainly thank God for this man of God and for the privilege to be able to stand here and preach God's word. I've tried. I've been preaching now for 31 years. And I've been pastoring for 28. And I've tried. I sat there and said, Lord, I need to do something else. I said, Brother McBride, just soaked that verse and went in them scriptures and preached that thing. He said, son, my word is inexhaustible. You can't exhaust a book. Now, I ain't going to preach this message because God gave him what to preach, but I'm going to go back over in there where he was at. There's some more honey in that rock. Y'all mind if I get some honey out of that rock? Yeah, glory. Hallelujah. Son, I'll tell you right now, God, I feel one coming on. Yeah, hallelujah. I'm not going to preach long this morning. I tell you, Brother Stewart already told me, said y'all crowd, he getting a little hungry, so I ain't going to hold you too tight. And but I did. Y'all had to work. I already bought mine, so if I get hungry, I reach back and get me a sandwich while I'm preaching. Praise God. But look at go over back where he was in 2 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse number 20 and 21. And I want to show you something here that I've been preaching throughout this whole month. Now, you watch and see, my message is totally different, what God gave me out of this and what God gave him. But I want to show you something out of this that the King gave me this morning. And I've been preaching this whole month on how to stand against the odds. And I want to preach this to you this morning on how you stand against the odds. Every message this whole month has been standing against the odds. Somebody asked me, said, how's this year been so far? It's been absolutely awesome and amazing, because our God is an awesome God. And so far this year, to God be the glory, we've seen right at 76 people saved by the grace of God. And the year just got started. And then last year, he let us see over 700 people saved. And 2010, I said, God, I pray in 2011 that you'll take it over 1,000, not so that I can get glory, but so that you can get glory. I said, because people are sitting around talking about what God used to do, how God used to work. But I come to declare to you this morning, I don't have a used to God. I got a God that still is. I got a God that still can. I got a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we could ever ask or think. Can he do it, church? Somebody help me right there. Well, glory. Right, let's stand together in respect of God's word so we can go eat. I ain't going to preach long. Brother McBride's already soaked. I tell you what, a man of God. I appreciate Brother McBride. Man, I tell you what, I heard him for the first time up in West Virginia. He was preaching up there at Brother at Tees Valley. Preaching up there, heard him preach up there. I said, Lord God, that man of God, can God give him some groceries on the table? He'll set it out and let you eat. That's God, just fill you up so much. You can't even hardly, hey, you can't even hardly move. You'll be so full of the word, and I like it, amen. And what he has to say, forgiveness, I'm telling you, a lot of God's people can't go for it because of what he said this morning. But I want you to look at these two verses again. The Bible said, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, a son of a violent man, and Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab, and went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in a time of snow. And it slew the Egyptian, a goodly man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Now, verse 20 is my text, and I think this is where he was at. And I'm talking about Benaiah, but I'm telling you, God gave me something totally different. The son of Jehoiada, the son of a violent man, Kabzeel, who had done many acts, slew two lion-like men, went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. I want to talk to you on how to stand against the odds. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. What our hearts have already felt, what our ears have heard this day. I thank you for the man of God that stood here a moment ago. I pray, Spirit of God, that every time he stand to preach the word of God, that you fill him with your anointing and fill him with your power and your breath. And I pray for every man of God in this house that God, at 2011, I'd be the greatest year they've ever seen in the history of their life. As we serve a God that can do more in a moment than we can ever do in a lifetime. I praise your name for Brother Stewart. I praise your name for this man of God. I pray, God, you fill him and anoint him. I pray, God, touch his health, touch his life. Thank you so much for Gateway Baptist Church and the folks of this ministry. I put on this meeting every year so we can come and drink of a fountain that never will run dry. I'm glad, dear God, at 2011 doesn't deter you one bit. You're just as much God right now in 2011 as you was in 2010. Fill me now with the power of the Holy Ghost and fresh anointing. Let your breath breathe on me. Has anybody in here lost without you? Bring them under conviction and save them by the grace of God. And everything you do will praise him and thank you and give you glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I got a roll right now because I know my time. I probably won't take but about 25 minutes at the most, but I've got a roll. But I really feel like this is what God wants for his people at this hour that you and I are living in right now. But I want to tell you something this morning right off the bat, that I want you to understand that God's people in the past and God's people right now have always been kind of people has had to stand against the odds. Am I right about that? Now, I want you to take your Bible, hold your place in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and go with me to John chapter 16, and look at verse 18 through 20 for just a moment. St. John 16 and verse 18 through 20. Look at this in the Word of God. Now, watch this. I'm sorry. 15 is what I want. The Bible said in John 15, 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, he said, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. I just want to stop by and tell you that Jesus said, if folks are hating on you, don't let it faze you. He said, they hated me before it ever hated you. If they persecuting you, know that they persecuted him before they ever persecuted you. And just know, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're saved by the grace of God, if you're washed in Calvary's blood, if your name's written down in glory, I want you to know, whatever they did to Jesus, they'll do the same thing to you. But the good news is, whatever they did to him, and hey, I want you to know, whatever he saw, you'll get to see the same thing also. I want you to know that every time Jesus went through something, the Father showed up on his behalf. And whenever God shows up, God always show out. He don't never show up unless God shows out. I said, when God shows up, he shows out. Am I right about that? Now watch this. I want you to see something. You see, Jesus defied the natural with the supernatural. He always defied the natural with the supernatural. You see, he loved to go against the odds so the Father can get some glory. And everybody in this room this morning, if you be honest and look back over your shoulder at 2011, you have to say, like the psalmist said, if it had not been and for the Lord on your side, you don't even know where you'd be. There's times you thought that you'd lose your mind. There's times you thought, I can't make it through tomorrow. But you found out, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face another day. Am I right about that? Come here. I got to get this to you. But I want you to know, he defied the natural with the supernatural. Listen, hey, preacher, don't you think Jesus knew he going to run out of wine in John 2? He already knew that before he ever got to the wedding. He just wanted them to have a chance, had to run out of their cells so he could show up with his stuff. And so when he showed up, they said, what shall we do, Mary? She said, whatever he says, that's what you do. I say this morning, whatever he says, that's what you do. He filled up 6 water pots and brought them back. And when he said, taste it, and he said, it turned to water into wine. And the governor looked at him and said, I don't understand this. Said, usually when you have a wedding, you put your best stuff out first, and then you put your worst stuff out last. He said, you done it completely backwards. He said, yeah, I just want y'all to see, when you run out of your stuff and get a hold of my stuff, you'll find out what you had ain't better than my stuff. Everybody in this room that's saved by the grace of God, before you ever got saved, you lived out in the world and you had your stuff. But whenever you got God's stuff, you look back over your shoulder and say, thank God that Jesus, he saved the best for last. Am I right about it? In John 4, in John chapter number 4, he knew that woman was coming to the well. He's sitting there just waiting. See, y'all go ahead, fellas. Here she come to the well. That wasn't no accident. He come to the well. He said, I'll be waiting on her. She come there with a little water pot, had her stuff to draw some water. And when the King of Glory got through with her, she, whoa! When he got through with her, she had her stuff. But when she got through with his stuff, she took off like a rocket, like somebody shot out of a cannon. Hey! You know what I like about Jesus? He'll heal somebody. Then he'd say, shh, don't you tell nobody that I did it. No sooner, hey, they couldn't hold it. He never took out a Spartanburg, an independent tribune, a paper that boiled in spring, whatever you got. He didn't have to take out no newspaper. That's whatever he got through with you, you'd be telling the news for him, for yourself. Am I right about that? Hey, he defied the natural with the supernatural. I could go on and on. But I want you to come with me this morning so I can give you these three things and get out of the way. Now, watch this. In our text this morning, I want you to see three things. Now, in our 2 Samuel chapter number 23, David has come down to the end of his life. David, the Psalm, look at chapter 23, verse 1. Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, the man of whom was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of Jacob, the sweet summons of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. David is reminiscing and going back over his life. He's about to check out and go over to the other side. And before David leaves, he's remembering the mighty men, the men that stood by him, his side. Look what he said in verse 8. The Bible said, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachamite that sat in the seat, chief among the Egyptians. The same was Adino, the Ezonite. And he lifted up his spear against 800 and slew them at one time. I sound like a mighty man to me. But then he goes on down and talks about the different ones. And then he talked about some of his men. Verse 16, he wanted some water. But the water was on the other side of the Philistines. And it was by the gate in Bethlehem. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the gate and took it, brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. But he poured it unto the Lord and said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of them men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink these things did the three mighty men. Now, notice David is talking about some men that stood by his side. I want to say to you this morning, if you hear what your pastor, that you ought to love your man of God and stand by his side. Everywhere I go across this nation, God's afforded me the opportunity to travel a little bit and preach the word of God. I sit with preachers and hear broken heart after broken heart. I was yesterday up in Canapus. I had a funeral I went to and I participated in. And while I was there, one of the preachers that did the preaching, he said, Brother Steele, he said, I had one of the worst splits this year I've ever seen in my life. He said, I had a deacon of 35 years rise up and take about half the church. I got a little handful of people sitting there right now. He said, but I ain't going to quit and I'm not going to give in. Why waste your time to put your clothes on and come over to the house of God just to fight God's people and to fight God's man? You'll be better off. And bless God, you heard about this preacher. This lady one time said, we need a new pastor. We need a new pastor in this place. And the preacher looked at her and said, you sure do. Why don't you go get you a barbed wire fence and build you one? Somebody help me out now. I'm telling you right now, I thank God. One of the things has helped Brother Steele. I'm going to my 29th year at New Life Baptist Church, and the thing that's helped this preacher to keep going, I got 18 deacons. I got I don't know how many trustees. A church full of men of God, and they hover around this preacher. I told our people, I came back from California after preaching in a conference, and God laid on my heart. I said, I don't know how much time we got left on this planet, but I don't want to spend my time fussing and fighting and feuding at the house of God. I want to see God do something in this generation that'll shake the powers of hell. I'm tired of hearing about what God used to do, how God used to act. If God's people that are called by God's name would humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, we'd hear from heaven and God forgive our sins. and heal the land. Am I right about it? But one of the things that helped me, those men of God have stood with this preacher. They love me. If they think I need anything, they'll go do it. That's the way David's mighty men were, had men that stood with him. Now watch this now. But then he talked about Benaniah. And I want you to notice something. The Bible said, this man, as our brother so neatly and prophetically preached a moment ago, said, he talked about Benaniah, went down in the pit on a snowy day and saw a lion in that pit. Now, on a snowy day. Now, you say, preacher, what's so significant about that? Well, let me tell you about a lion for just a moment. And maybe you'll see that he stood against the odds. Do you know how big a lion grows? A male lion when it's full grown? It grows between 550 to 600 pounds. A lion can jump 30 feet in the air. A lion can run 35 miles per hour. A lion has canine teeth. He can take his teeth and crush a bone like it's nothing but a piece of paper. He can take one of his claws and hit you in the head. A human skull is the hardest bone in your body. He can take his paw and hit you in the head with that paw and crush your skull like it's nothing but a piece of paper. Yet, here's this man that's in the pit with a lion on a snowy day where you can't get no traction. But listen, Benaniah came up against this lion. And the Bible said that he got me. People were standing back. He roared out in there. And Benaniah jumped off in the pit with this lion. And they wonder who in the world. All they can hear is roaring. And folks are hollering. And things and stuff are crying. And all of a sudden, there's silence. Who's coming out? And out of there with blood dripping everywhere. Paul lion grip cuts everywhere. Here come Benaniah. Out of the other side. Hey, it wasn't Benaniah. It was a God of Benaniah. It's not us. It's a God that we have. It's not you, but it's a God that's in you. Am I right about that? Watch this. Watch this now. We'll give you three things right quick and I'll be done. Sound like to me, if a man got to face something that big, he's standing against the odds. But I want to give you three things. Number one, everybody, every one of us are facing a lion. Every one of us are facing a lion. Our brother quoted it a little bit ago. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober. That means you better be alert. Be watchful. You better be vigilant. It means to be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. One of the greatest devices of Satan is fear. How does a lion rule the jungle? He uses the jungle by fear. He has an attitude. You see, the lion is not the biggest thing in the jungle. He's not the strongest, but he's not the fastest. But everybody, when he steps up, everybody moves to the side. Gets out of the way. Why? Because he rules it with an attitude of fear. You see, when that lion, look at an elephant. A hippopotamus weighs 5,000 pounds. An elephant weighs up in the tons. But a giraffe, listen, weighs up in the thousands of pounds. But when everybody see that lion, they take off running. You know why? It's all in his attitude. See, when they see the lion, the lion looks at them, he says, I see lunch. They look at him, they said, we hit lunch. He got in their head. It's all in your attitude. And I'm simply saying to you this morning, and everybody in this room, there are people in this room this morning not walking in your destiny, all because there's something that you're afraid of. And you wonder what people are going to think. You wonder what people are going to say. You wonder, I don't know if I can really do that. And you got so caught up in what people think that you can't hear the voice of God. I'm telling you right now, everybody has got a lie. Am I right about it? But you know how many times that the Bible says, fear not? 365 times the Bible said, fear not. That's a fear not for every day of the week. Every day. Hey, the whole year you sitting around worrying. And God says, fear not. So when you got up this morning and you don't know what you, how you're going to make it, something going on back home, God says, fear not. When you look at your checkbook and it seems like it's zipping over in the red, when your money's funny, your change is strange, God said, fear not. When it seemed like your family, you don't know what's going to happen next, God said, fear not. When it seemed like, man of God, you don't know if that church is going to make it or not, God said, fear not. When everybody's talking about you and putting you down and putting you, scamming your name in the streets, God said, fear not. There's a fear not for every day you get up. I stop by to tell you that our God said, you don't have to be afraid. But then I want to show you why. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 41 and look at verse number 10. I want to show you why you don't have to be afraid. In Isaiah 41 verse 10. Notice this now. In Isaiah 41, look at verse number 10. This is why you don't have to be afraid. I like this. Watch this. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, the Bible said, are you there, class? I call our people in church class because I told them, and I want you to get, let me drop this on you. I want you to get this. This ain't really church. This is class time. You see, the church is you. The church is me. This is where the church meet together to worship him. But it's really class time. See, when you go to school, you come and bring your books to school like these young people do. They're in class time. You know why the teacher is giving them instruction? Because they're going to have to face some tests. And if you get the proper instruction, whenever the tests come up, you got what you need to pass the test. And life is filled with tests. And when you come inside this place, you ought to come in there with your pen and your book. I tell our people, they take notes. I have all our kids. I make all our young people. They sit all down here on the front. I say, get down here with me. I want you close to me as you can get. And they get a notepad out, and they write down every note, and I reward them for writing the best outlines. They can tell you what preacher preached about. I said, take them home and study them outlines, because you young people, just like us adults, are going to have to face some tests. But if you got the right instruction, if you got what came out of that book, I said, whenever the life tests come, God already knew what there's going to be before you got there. And you don't have to worry about failing the test. If you get the right instruction, bless God, when the tests come up, you already know the answer, and you don't have to stay. It's, oh, God, you don't get that. You know why come a lot of folks in ninth, they're 17 years old in the eighth grade. Y'all say ain't passed no test. Am I right? And there's a lot of God's people that should be in college right now, but they're still in the elementary school because they haven't passed the test. Every time a test goes up, they fail it over and over and over again. But you come in the house of God to get some instruction from the King of Glory because the devil is no match for Jesus. Am I right about it? Here's one. Isaiah 41:10. Read it with me. Ready? Here we go. Say it with me. Are y'all in Isaiah 41:10? All right, everybody say it at count of three. One, two, three. Why? Be not dismayed. For what? And I will do what? And I will do what? And I will do what? With what? God said, you got to be no afraid. I'm your God. Do you know who your daddy is? Do you know who your father is? Young people, can I tell you about him a little bit? Let me tell you about your daddy. My father, my daddy. Yes, can I tell you, let me tell you about it. My daddy never wrote a song, but his songs is bestseller and sung about than any song in all the world. My daddy never wrote a book, but his book is a bestseller in the universe. My daddy never traveled over 300 miles when he walked here on this earth, but you can't go a place that my daddy hadn't already been. Because you see, you ain't got to try to get God to come nowhere, because God's already everywhere. Yeah, my daddy wants you to know he's called the Son of Man and he's called the Son of God. As the Son of Man, he got hungry. As the Son of God, he said, I'm the bread of life. As the Son of Man, he got thirsty. As the Son of God, he said, I can give you water that you'll never thirst again. As the Son of Man, he said, I'm tired. As the Son of God, come unto me, all that have labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you some rest. Hey, want you to know he was the Son of Man. He was born a Mary. As the Son of God, he's the one that made Mary. That's my daddy. Somebody help me out now. I said, number one, everybody's facing the line. What are you afraid of? 2 Timothy 1:7 said that God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Well, glory. Number two, real quick. Gotta hurry. Number two, your destiny is on the other side of this attack. Your destiny is on the other side of this attack. Now, notice when Ben and I went in that pit with that lion, look at verse number 23. The Bible said in verse 23, it said, he was more honorable in 2 Samuel 23:23. He was more honorable than the 30. But he attained not the first three. David set him over his God. Now watch this. David was looking for somebody to lead his army. And everybody was submitting applications for his army. He said, what about this one? What about that? And somebody said, hey, I got one for you. Try this one out. He looked at it and said, he slew two lion-like men and killed a lion on a snowy day. Lord, have mercy. I want him over my army. But you know what? He'd have never walked in his destiny and became the God over David's army if he had never faced his fear and his attack. Because what he was waiting on was on the other side of his attack. And some of you under attack this morning, and you don't understand why come you seem like your world, everything hitting you from every side. What God wants you to know and sent me to tell you that your destiny is on the other side of your attack. Listen to me. I told you this, and maybe you'll grab it this way. In another week, some of y'all's team is going to play in my team stadium. You'll get that. We get to watch it. That's it. But watch this. I'm going to ask you something. Let me have, real quick, let me have about six of you young men come up here for just a minute. Six of you, young men, come here. Just a minute, real quick. We gotta go eat. Come here. I'm gonna show you something. Y'all stand up here for just a minute. You may have three on this side and three over here. All right, y'all still stay back there. Come on, y'all three, come over here on this side. Now I'm gonna show you something. Now, watch this. Now, you the quarterback, and these are the receivers. You're a receiver, and here's a quarterback. Over here's the defense. Y'all step on up, defense. Now I got a question for y'all. He's the man that's got the ball. Which one do y'all want? Do you want the receivers or do you want him? Or you want the quarterback? Why you want the quarterback? Because he got the ball. Oh, so what if he take the ball and give it to this receiver over here? Which one y'all want now? Oh, y'all want him? You're forgetting all about the quarterback because he ain't carrying nothing, right? Now listen, here's what I want you to get. If you can't figure out why the powers of hell is coming against you so strong, look in your hands. You carrying something that's bigger than what you got in your eyes. I said, you wasn't carrying nothing. The powers of hell don't want nobody that's not carrying nothing. The very fact that you carrying something is bigger than your eyes. That's why the powers of hell is coming against you. Am I right about it? But this way God gonna mess him up. Y'all come here for just a minute. All right, stop right here. What they don't know is while they got their eyes focused on the man with the ball, that receiver going down past them, he's slipping down the field. Can you catch? Okay. Don't throw it to him. He'll drop the ball and have to pay for a songbook. But listen, while they got their eyes on him, the quarterback throws the ball and it comes down, the receiver catches it. Act like you're going that way for a touchdown. Do you know how to cut a jig? Okay. Did you play football? Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm just messing with you. But here's the thing. While they up, the devil's up here messing around here, God is about to throw a bomb on the devil. And when they turn around and when they figure out what just happened in your life, y'all be looking for the ball and the crowd gonna be streaming down this way. House, he's in the end zone with a touchdown. I just want you to know that devil's got some of you preachers and got some of you precious ladies, got you all hemmed up and carrying something. But God is about to drop a bomb on that devil. When he turns around, he's going to be in the end zone shouting that victory shall be mine. Am I right about it? Thank you, man. Watch this. Let me tell you something real quick and I get this last thing and I'm done. I said, number one, every one of you have a lion, something you're afraid of. Number two, your destiny is on the other side of this attack. Because Psalm 75, 6 and 7 said, promotion don't come from the north, south, east, or west, but promotion comes from the Lord. And I ain't got time, but I'll give you the verses. 1 Timothy 1:15 said, Christ Jesus came in the world. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. He said, you need to listen to this. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was his destiny. If you read Matthew 4, the devil kept offering him bread, jump off a pinnacle. He said, and bow down, worship me. Are you crazy? You know the devil crazy. You're going to tell the King of Glory, the Creator, bow down, worship me. I give you the king. Are you? He done lost his mind. How you go? Ask, give me something I already got. I need to preach a message. When the devil lost his mind. But you know what he was doing? He was offering him a deal over his destiny. Because he knew if I could give in to give in and then this attack. See, he hit him with Jesus with an attack. If you be the Son of God, turn the bread, these stones into bread. He kept hitting him with his attack, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. He kept hitting him. See, if I could get him to give in, he won't reach his destiny. And that's what he's doing with you young people. He's sending all kind of stuff to try to get you to get out of your destiny because your destiny is on the other side of this attack. Lastly, number three. Your greatest victories are on the other side of your fears. I'll give you this and I close. I'm not going to turn to it. I just want to tell you something. Your greatest victory is on the other side of your fears. And I'm done. Watch this. Your greatest victory is on the other side of your fears. Now, Benaniah became the captain over David's army. Now he's leading his whole army. Listen, your greatest victory is on the other side of your fears. Don't you remember in Matthew 14? Jesus set this whole thing up. He said, y'all fellas get in the boat. Go to the other side. I want y'all to go to the other side. Oh, they gladly got off in the boat. He didn't tell them about no storm now. Got off in the boat. Went about 3.5 miles on the water. And all of a sudden, the storm hit. And there they are, round and round. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to lie. Confession is good for the soul. I do not know how to swim. And I'm out in the middle of all this water. And we're going round and round. And I'd have been doing some hollering. Oh, God help me. Somebody save. And all of these out there in the middle of that water. And they looked out there on the water. on top of that, they see somebody walking. Oh, God, has got to be a haint. I mean, some of young people, that's what old people call a ghost. They call them a haint. There's a haint. A ghost out there. It's not no haint. It's me. Fear not.
There it is.
Fear not. Don't be afraid. It's me. It's Jesus. Walking on the stuff that they about to drown in. Here he come walking. And Peter said, "Are you?" He said, "Yeah, come on." He said, "That's really you. Can I come?" That supernatural word, shoot, come. The disciples said, you going to do that? You really going to do that? Peter said, "They told me to come." Whoa, glory, hallelujah. Lord God, he was walking on top of stuff that should have been destroying him. I stopped by to tell you, preacher, I stopped by to tell you, lady of God, the thing that you've been worried about the most, Jesus is telling you to come. Hush, your victory is on the other side of your greatest fear. You, if he says come, you just step out and you'll find yourself walking on top of stuff that's been walking on top of you. I'm trying to tell you right now, I know you feel like you're standing against the odds, but I want you to know that your victory is on the other side of your greatest fear. You're looking at a preacher right now. I was scared to death when God told me to start New Life Baptist Church. I said, God, surely you don't want me to start the church. And when a team's behind, you know what they'll do? I've seen them do this in a basketball game and a football. They'll take and hit the field. And they tell the crowd. They do the crowd like this. And tell the crowd to get up. Y'all believe we can do this. Y'all come on, cheer us on. You know why we come into the house of God and worship God? Whatever you're going through this morning, Jesus wants to see you take your hands, hit your Bible, and start doing this and giving him glory and giving him praise and giving him honor and worshiping him. That's what you're saying. What I'm going through right now, I believe you can do this. And while you're worshiping him, you're asking him to come. And when he shows up, he'll show up. Am I right about that? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I want to thank you.